Welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop
and Daniel Ettinger. I almost forgot my name. I'll tell you what, I'm so tired today. It's been a rough morning just to wake up out of bed, but I'm here, y'all.
What were you doing that you were so tired?
I don't know. I didn't really do anything. I was in Oregon. Shout out to Oregon Animal Control Officers Association for having me visit. That was a great time. So I was there earlier this week, and then just been working on a lot of stuff, you know, kind of going nonstop. So
you also could be getting sick. There's a like 2 or 3 day illness going around.
I hope not. Check out our website, keepithumane.com. Also check out our social media platforms. That is at the Animal Control Report on Instagram and Facebook, and then Keep It Humane is on TikTok. I always screw that one up. Also, we are still accepting nominations for ACO and Agency of the Year. So in order to do that, please submit those no later than November 1st. And you can do that right through our website, keepithumane.com/animal control report. Again, keepithumane.com/animal control report.
With a description as to why they should be.
Yeah, it's kind of laid out on how to do it, like name, agency.
Wrong button. Zencaster
just paused you. Name, agency, and like a 500-word essay. It's not hard. You know, just get on in there and get that rocking. So November 1st is the deadline. Again, we're part of the Keep It Humane podcast network, so check out our partners there as well on the website. So we're just trying to keep the voice going, and it's kind of a good segue into our guest today, who we're going to talk to here in a second. Before we do that, though, Bishop, have you finished? I'm gonna ask you until you finish the damn book. Have you finished A Traitor to His Species?
No.
We're fighting. If you don't finish that by the time I see you in Texas.
Which is saying something, considering you didn't even buy it after when I told you I had bought it.
I know, and I finished it long before you.
I don't have time to read.
It's a big book, too.
It's really not that big.
No, it's big. For me, at least, it's big.
In the book,
they talk about a publication called Our Dumb Animals. And it was a publication really created by George Thorndike Angel, who started the MSPCA, the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And, you know, its first issue, think about this, in 1868, its first issue, and I need to get a copy of this, so I don't know if it's on eBay, wherever it is, I got to find this. There were 200,000 copies distributed back in...
You're raising your hand. Do you have a copy of it, Heidi?
I do. Yeah, okay. my grandfather used to receive it, and I used to work for the MSPCA.
Let's get you in here then. So let's introduce our guest, because they're probably like, who is she, and why is she raising her hand? So let's do the formal introduction. Heidi Colonna, is that how I say your last name?
Yes.
Heidi Colonna is joining us today, and she's a writer and editor, Kind News Magazine, and you have more information for us. So please give a little info on your background and tell me how I can get a copy of this Our Dumb Animals first edition.
All right, sure. So thank you so much for having me on, Dan. It was really nice to meet you at New England Fed, and I just remember a lot of energy coming from you at the table, at the Kind News table. A lot of good conversation starting, so I'm glad we're able to keep it going here. And so I've been involved in youth education for 25 years plus now. And my grandfather, so I want to kind of talk about how I got into humane education a little bit. And I think it starts with good role models is a huge part of it. How, you know, any of us get into this work caring for animals, I feel like. So my grandfather used to, you know, he was one who would feed the birds, but also feed the mice, and always had a dog. And he used to get our dumb animals at his house. And I found it in his attic, you know, cleaning his attic one day. Nice. So publications are huge. And sometimes people just see it as, oh, it's just paper. Like you can't have a program around just a paper, but I disagree. So later when I was like a tween, I would get the HSUS close-up reports at my house. And I think that was really huge for me. And I remember writing a letter to HSUS thanking them for working on horse slaughter and all those huge range of issues that HSUS works on. So I think publications are huge. So it kind of makes sense that I went to work for a magazine teaching kids about animal welfare. And I first held it in my hands in 1998 when I was just coming out of Tufts, the Center for Animals and Public Policy master's program, decided to devote my career to youth education, and found it at the Youth Education Division of HSUS in Southeastern Connecticut. And it looked much different than this.
Wait, let me see.
Know her.
ACO Jess.
Jess the Dingo, right? This is why I ran to get this when I found out we were going to be on video here.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we interview her. We interview a lot of people who are working in animal careers, and it's part of that role model thing. Every issue has a humane hero as well. It's usually a young person doing something for animals. And we really want kids to see those role models and see what it means to be responsible and kind and what that looks like. So I think the role models are huge. But getting back to our dumb animals, they have them in the archives of the MSPCA to this day, you know, where George Angel worked. And I was able to get a tour of those archives when I worked at MSPCA. And as a student as well, I worked with Carter Luke, who and Scott Giacopo. I think it was Scott Giacopo who showed me the archives and got to see all the dumb animals up there, the Our Dumb Animals. So I do have one in my basement. I don't know. Maybe I could take some pictures and email it.
Well, I just found
to you
some on eBay. It's $25 for a lot, and I might just get that just for the historical value of that.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and Bernie Unti is another. He's like the historian for the HSUS, and he has all that kind of stuff. He even has some of the medals, like the Be Kind to Animals medals that George, the Bands of Mercy, used to hand out. These How kindness cool clubs that? Back in the late 1800s.
What's interesting is the magazine or the publication started in the late 1800s, and the ones that I'm seeing here on eBay are actually 1940, 1939. So it just tells you how long it was going on, which is amazing.
And yeah, my grandfather got it, I want to say in the 50s. I think it went into the 50s, maybe even early 60s. Wow. And then Black Beauty is another huge example of a publication that changed attitudes on a humongous scale. I think 100,000 copies were passed out by George Angel, ignoring copyright laws, just pirated the novel and brought it over to the United States. And apparently,
what was that novel about?
About the perils, the experience of an abused cart horse by Anna Sewell.
Okay.
And it's said to have started the first humane movement. Just the dissemination of that book.
Wow.
All right, I'm getting that too. I'm going to put that in my Amazon wish list.
Yeah,
right
I have
now.
Like three copies behind me.
Well, I mean, you know, instead of going to Amazon, I could just give you my address.
Too bad we're on the opposite coast.
Whatever. I'll actually be back in Connecticut in November. So
nice.
Yeah. So talk more about kind of what the day-to-day looks like for you and how you support just educating everyone about our profession and just being kind to animals.
Yeah. So, I mean, my role is really finding these stories and interviewing people, finding out what's happening. When I was at New England Fed, not only am I getting this magazine out there and trying to get into more classrooms, trying to get people to partner with Red Rover to get it into more classrooms. But I'm also looking for those real life stories because I want to make sure we're representing what's happening. I'm always looking for content ideas. I often don't hear a lot from people. So I'm really happy to be on here because I must say every day, if you have content ideas for the magazine, let me know. And I maybe have heard from one or two people in the past couple of years. So if you know of a great humane hero story, a rescue story, career story, like these are the things we want to be getting out there to young people. So, and I'd love to give you just a little background on the ages we reach. This is for grades K through 6. So it's about ages 5 through 12 is about the ages students are at in those grades. And it's in two different editions. So we have one for the little guys. High News Junior is for grades K through 2, written on a much lower reading level, a lot less text. And then we have grades 3 through 6 is our regular edition. Now, in a bundle of these, we have 28 copies of the kids' magazine plus a teacher's guide. So this comes every other month to the classroom, 5 issues a school year. And the students in most cases are taking them and they're taking them home. So they're educating their families as well, which is really nice. Right now we're in about 300,000 students are reading it, but you know, they're going home and they're talking with parents. In most cases, they're taking this home. My son gets it and I see it come home every other month. So
That's awesome.
It's nice to, and then my other son got it as well. The classrooms will often write thank you letters and little drawings and send them back to the sponsors, which is really cute.
You just gave me a great idea for our PTO to potentially look into sponsoring that for the library.
Absolutely. A lot of libraries and schools will get it. So if it's, you know, if funding is an issue and like every classroom can't get it, at least when students visit the library, it can be in a little stand. And in one of the schools I mentor in, it's just sitting in a stand for all the kids.
That's awesome.
To see it and borrow it. Yeah. We also have a digital edition, so which is really nice, especially if funding's a big issue and, you know, the magazine can't be afforded in every classroom. Well, teachers, any teacher right now could go on and see the whole thing and get it on a smart board, read it with class, have discussions around it, and even have it read aloud by me and my other colleagues on my team. We read them aloud and then you can push a little button. So for those who are struggling with reading, they're hearing it read aloud to them, which is, we're told by teachers, a really popular feature.
Probably our listeners are thinking this right now, like, okay, so how do we get in contact with you if we want to be featured or potentially featured in the magazine? Like, how does our content get in there? So like, what's the best way of going about getting our officers? Because that's one of the biggest gripes that I have for our profession. I'm going to talk a little of my crap right now. Is,
take it easy, Dan.
No, we're good. We got a guest this time, so she keeps me in line. Animal control has this like, oh, we're undervalued and everyone thinks we're the dog catcher. And sorry, that's my California Starbucks voice. When we ask for feedback, whether it's us, whether it may be a national organization or a state organization, and I'm only speaking from experience, the amount of feedback we get is so minimal. People don't want to ever, they want to complain, but they don't ever want to be involved in the change. And so I'm calling all of you out right now, all of our listeners, all of the friends of the show, because we even experience it. You know that.
Bishop. Oh, yeah.
Like, we do as well. So I'm calling everyone out. And it's like, this is a great opportunity for us to be seen in a different light. And so please, Heidi, share how we get in touch with you and hopefully we can get some officers to reach out.
Absolutely. I'm constantly telling kids, and through the magazine, through the stories, contact your local animal control agency if you see this and what to do. And so those are the things, like, I want to speak for you and then also talk with you about how to get into schools directly yourselves, because that's just as important. Mm-hmm. You have the resources, but to be the face and have your own stories told one-on-one. So we actually have a page, kindnews.org/share-your-story.
Okay.
I'll say it one more time, kindnews.org/share-your-story. Now, this is a place you can send in a humane hero idea, if you have a humane hero story. It could be a young person, but keep in mind, the younger kids look up to the older kids. So it could be a teenager. These younger kids idolize teenagers for the most part, in my experience. So.
They're more relatable.
Yeah, it's like they aspire to be the older kid, you know. But that's a good webpage to use for any kind of feedback if you want to say, you know, we're really having trouble. I mean, we've covered community cats quite a bit, but we recently covered a rescue story of some fighting roosters. So we here and there have gotten to some of the heavier hitting issues.
When you say a rescue story of fighting roosters, talk a little more about that, because there's really no place for those things. So what happened in that scenario?
These were roosters who were a part of a case in New York, and they were rescued by Ulster County Humane Society. Their wattles had been removed, you know, all those signs that they had been used in fighting.
Sure.
They were then adopted by a sanctuary in Virginia called Porchlight. And so that's where they're living out their lives. And they have some really cool stories. They're showing their personalities. They're protecting the farm. And so we've profiled that story recently.
I'll have to check that out, because I'd love to read that. You know, I think your publication is not just for kids. I think that would be pretty cool for an adult like me as well.
I agree. I mean, there's all kinds of humane literature for young people that I enjoy, and
I mean, I read at a first grade level anyway, so it's probably beneficial that I, whatever.
So I think everybody's sitting out there partially going, okay, yeah, you want to hear from us. Can you give us some examples of things that you'd want to hear? Stories that, you know, do you have something in your head that you're looking for?
I would say, in addition to the rescue stories you might come upon, like a happy ending story, because for kids, we don't want to burden them with too, like a sad ending story, you know?
Sure.
The happy ending stories, we like to show the turnaround and who and what intervened in order for an animal to have a happy ending. You know, these are great stories that we're looking for. Any young person doing something heroic or kind. It could be just sitting with a dog who was just hit until, you know, ACO comes, something like that. I mean, that's a good story. We want to show responsible behavior.
Okay.
The other thing is if you see an issue that you're battling and you really feel like education is needed, like I want to hear that as well. For example, like the community cats or fighting or whatever you might be, because every community is different. So it's important for us to hear what's happening so that we know what do kids need to be hearing? What are the important issues? Because I'm sitting in a home office in Massachusetts, and yes, I do get around and to the conferences, and we're involved in the Association of Professional Humane Educators as well. I want to bring them up. They're a really good resource in addition to us if you're interested in teaching young people. So we're just trying to keep our finger on the pulse. That's all.
Okay. I'm sitting here trying to think if I've even got any stories.
When you say humane educators, so we have friends of the show, the Humane Educators of Texas. Shout out. This is different. What is the Humane Educators?
Association of Professional Humane Educators, okay. APHE, is a group that started in California, I want to say in the 70s. Okay. It's basically a cult. I don't want to say coalition. It's a membership organization.
I thought you were going to
say cult. No, I was about to say coalition. I was on the board for 3 years. Okay. We are a membership organization.
Got it.
And so youth educators at animal shelters, I would say, make up most of this group.
Okay.
People who are out there, teachers who are like the animal teachers, you know, who really love animals are part of this organization. But it's mostly people out there in the field educating kids, running summer camps, giving lessons in classrooms. So it's a great group if you do want to go into a classroom and you need a lesson to kind of step by step present what you want to present, or a topic that's really important for your community. That's a great group to reach out to. They have a listserv. So if you become a member, I believe it's $50 a year. You then have access to this, to everybody around the country. You can pose a question on the listserv. They have conferences, and it's been tremendously helpful, you know, in sharing resources. There's no need to reinvent the wheel or have to figure things out on your own.
And that, do you know the website? And we plug that.
APHE.org.
APHE.org. Yeah. Cool. I'll try to add those to the show notes as well.
Yeah, just and so the conference this coming year will be in Buffalo at Erie County, SPCA.
Oh,
SPCA
wow.
Serving cool. Erie County, yes.
Yeah, that's
Buffalo,
really cool.
Buffalo, 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 Buffalo. Sorry. They have the weirdest sentence in the world out there.
They have a really robust program out there, so it should be nice. And usually, you know, the hosting organization will have a tour. And
that's fun.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fun. What's one of the most, like, memorable stories that you've been involved in? I know you talked about the roosters and such, but what else kind of, like, comes across your mind when you think about the work that you've done?
Yeah, it's funny you ask. I just did an interview of Cy Montgomery. Are you familiar with her? She's a naturalist and author, and she's been all around the world interacting with animals. To me, she's like a Jane Goodall, but she's been everywhere with every kind of wild animal you can think of. And she just really opened my mind to the mental capacities of every animal, the idea that you can play with an octopus. The idea that you can be friends with a snapping turtle. I mean, this really just blew my mind. And
I'm not trying to befriend any of the snapping turtles around here.
You know what? Time out. Time out. Time out. If you could be friends with a chihuahua, you can be friends with a snapping turtle.
I'm not friends with any chihuahuas either.
No, that's fair. Stupid chihuahuas.
They're the piranhas.
Or the snapping. So yeah, she gave me all kinds of good stuff. And one of the things she said was, I think if you can, the more differences in the people you're friends with, the wider view of the world you have, the bigger perspective you have when your friends are different. So having a friend like who has eight arms, okay, like an octopus. she literally went to the aquarium, you know, and played with this octopus over and over. And that octopus, you can tell when an octopus is relaxed when they turn white.
What was the Netflix show? It was a series about like the guy befriends an octopus. Like he literally goes back to the same spot every day and they like, he yeah. captures it all on video. Does anybody know?
I remember that.
No idea.
No one?
I just can't think of the name, but I do remember that. And she also has documentaries on her. It's escaping me right now, but cymontgomery.com and all her information and about 36 books she's written.
Oh, wow. There. My octopus teacher. That's what it is. My octopus teacher.
Okay. I have not ever heard of that one.
You're missing out, bro.
Apparently.
It actually was really fascinating. And not to give any of the subject away, like without, you know, when we recommend these things, I just highly recommend it. I think it's a cool, it's just a unique bond between humans and animals. And I think what we fail to do as humans is remember that we're fucking animals. Sorry for the swear word.
Whoa. Hold on. Please change I don't mind the F word in there, but.
I should edit that. But I'm not going to.
We are all animals.
Yeah, that's the appropriate way to say it. We are absolutely all animals. And like, we forget that though, because we communicate at a different level. We drive cars and have smartphones. But at the end of the day, like, you're still an animal. And so to be able to befriend an animal is not, to me, abnormal as people try to make it seem. Right? I've befriended the most unique animals of them all. Humans.
I was going to say humans.
Heidi, this is good stuff. Like, I think what we're doing here is, unfortunately, it's under, like, there's not enough emphasis on the work that you do, because without meeting you in Massachusetts, I wouldn't have known this existed. So I want to help.
And I knew nothing.
Yeah.
So everywhere I go, I hear the same thing. I say, do you know about Kind News? Nope. And it, we've been around for 40 years. This is crazy.
How? How do you keep in business without anybody knowing?
So I'd like to talk offline a little bit too, to see how we can support it. Obviously, it's not a conversation to have on the show, but I just want you to know that we do support it. Mm-hmm. And if there's other ways that we can do it behind the scenes or, you know, in some other avenues, we would greatly appreciate that opportunity, just because, you know, if we put a poll up in one of the ACO groups, they'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
What's Kind News? Yeah. For the 13 people that respond.
Yeah. And to Ashley's point, we wouldn't be in business if it weren't for partnerships with animal sheltering, animal control, animal rescue groups. I really do feel like it's a partnership. And most of our subscriptions are in classrooms because of those groups sponsoring it. Mm. So we do the work of creating it and publishing it. And they will purchase subscriptions for their community. And this is how it works, because it's really expensive and time consuming to make a publication like this. It's not possible if we don't have those subscriptions being purchased.
So kindnews.com, kindnews.org, kindnews.org. Check that out in your browser and just give them some support. Yeah, my kids might actually dig this. I mean, they're 11 and 13. And I think like just getting something, because that just doesn't happen as much anymore, like getting something in the mail. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to get this.
Yeah, we actually have a special going right now. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, Ashley. Go ahead.
Real quick. We will do a home subscription. And the home subscriptions are usually only $10 for the year, but we're running a special right now for only $5.
Let's go. Oh. I'm getting this.
Exactly. I just got it from my mentor who like got me into humane education, just sent it to her nursing home. I mean, that we have to spread this around. So let me give you, there's actually a discount code I need to give you for that.
Oh, let's get that discount code. You're getting it all right here on the Animal Control Report.
Yeah, if you go to kindnews.org/home, because that's the home subscription, pinenews.org/home. Enter promo code GIFT50.
GIFT50. Slash home. I'm doing it right now for my computer, folks. And then enter promo code GIFT50. Right there. GIFT. I'm setting this up so after the show I can get on here.
Oh, I was already in the process of trying to.
1 year. There we go. I'm sending it. Now, here's the real question that I have, Heidi. I got two kids. Do I send one magazine or two?
So since they're 11 and 13, I would absolutely send the regular version. That's for grades 3 through 6. And okay. Well, yeah, that's up to you. Are they going to share it? Or?
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Why don't you get them two?
It's only 10 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a nice classroom gift for a teacher as well for the, you know, Christmas coming up. If you order now, well, we just passed the deadline for our November-December issue, but order now, they'll get the January, start with the January-February issue.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, anything else that you wanted to share with us? We had a story that we're going to get into here in a second, and but before we do that, we just wanted to make sure we capture everything that you had, just because this stuff's really important. Like, we really know how much... it means to really educate, and it starts there. I talk about this a lot in the classes that I do with adults, and I ask them, I'm like, where did you learn how to like interact with animals? Like, where does that come from? And it's mainly like there's conditioning from your parents or learned experience in that way. There's not a lot of like humane education out there. So in our schools. And so knowing that it does exist, being able to support that is really important for the show and me personally.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I think, you know, what's important, if I could just add one thing, is not every child obviously has these role models we did. So I think that's why it's extra important to get out there as humane professionals and to share our own stories and our own experiences and give them a new narrative for students who are seeing cruelty. And the other program I want to mention is Red Rover Readers. Now, this is a program that uses quality, humane children's literature. We started off talking about some of those great books. And there's so many good books. I have a list here that we use in our program to get into classrooms and read to them and just stop along the way in these very important books, books like Buddy Unchained, Max Talks to Me. So these are books that are themed on how should we be treating animals? There's a lot of cruelty presented in these, and how it was overcome and how the animals rescued. Also, community cats are presented here, and just understanding animal behavior, that animals speak to us with their bodies, is another big theme. And through these stories and the teaching guides we have, you stop along the way and ask important questions. Ask to make sure students are, number one, comprehending what the book's about, but number two, are they thinking critically about how we should be treating animals, about how an animal might be feeling when a rock is being thrown at them, for example, and to get them thinking on their own, what is the right way to treat animals and what does it mean to be responsible, and get them talking amongst the group as well, because students will teach each other in a group setting. Mm. And so this is called Red Rover Readers, and we actually have a training on this for anybody. It's only $35. It's an online training. If you go to redrover.org/readers. And I'm going to be facilitating some of these in person in Maine in the coming year. And I facilitated a couple in New Hampshire last spring. So we do them in person as well.
That's great. And yeah, to think back of how children were used in the early days with animal control. I mean, these dog catchers would basically pay kids. So kids at one point in New York in that area were allowed to collect bounties on stray dogs. They'd bring them in, and unfortunately, they surmise a, is that the right word? No. They would be sentenced to death, a horrible death. And then they got outlawed. Kids were no longer allowed to bring in animals to the dog collector, as the title is so appropriately called. And so what these dog catchers and dog collectors would do is, because they knew kids had relationships with these dogs in the streets, they would then pay them a percentage or a partial, you know, part of that bounty for these dogs. So like under the table, they were running these like things. And so involving kids in that way, which is so horrible because these kids probably knew that these dogs were going to be drowned in the East River. Unfortunately, that's how it was back in the day. To now where we're at, it's like, hey, like, let's look at our future generations and how to really impact them in a positive way. So I'm grateful that these things exist, and I'm just glad that we met and were able to really help promote the work that everyone's doing with, you know, Kind News and behind the scenes with all these types of publications, right? So I'm grateful that you took the time today to come on and chat with us about the work that you're doing. And we want to be supportive of that. So however we can support it, we're happy to do that here.
Thank you so much. I'm equally grateful to be able to speak about it and that you took the time with me. These publications really do work. We have done many surveys with teachers and different studies of different kinds, asking teachers how they think kids have responded and seeing some attitude changes and behavior changes around the playground, however, the play yard and school, and however you can see those changes in school, teachers are seeing it.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Thank you so much.
Again for your time. Again, check out the website. So that is kindnews.org, kindnews.org. Check that out. Don't forget, if you want to subscribe, that is kindnews.org/home. And then gift50 is your discount code. So try to use that, get that into the hands of the people that need it or the people that you think would really enjoy it. So we appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Ashley and Daniel. Have a great rest of your week, rest of your weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, Bishop, we got to get into this story about this Elk Grove dog. That I know you haven't had a chance to watch the video, and I think what we're going to do here on the YouTube channel is I'm going to plug this video in, and it's going to be interesting. We've never done this on the podcast, so the video, and I think the audio is going to play over, you know, however you're listening. So you'll be able to hear the audio, and from there, you'll be able to see the video part if you want to go to YouTube, and then we're just going to break it down.
Yeah, so I need to see all of your... What was that?
At 5 o'clock. Before 5 o'clock, I'll come there.
No, the inspection's here at the house. It's not at Animal Services. So I need to see your leash. I need to see your muzzle.
You guys don't even give me an appointment. You guys don't call me back. I got everything.
Okay, so I need to see...
Let me talk for a second.
Please. I need to speak. You asked me a question, and then I needed to speak.
Because your report
is wrong. So I need to see your muzzle. But what? I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna bring the kennel outside for you.
So the kennel should be in the backyard, ground in.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so do you want to grab your other stuff, the muzzle, the leash, the insurance, the proof of training, all that?
Everything, yeah. I have it right here.
You want to right there?
Yes.
I don't have to come inside. You can show it to me right here.
They accused me of the wrong thing that my dog did. They wrote a report without my...
Okay, what is this? This is just a...
That is a certification for the vicious animal.
This is not that. This is not even from Animal Services.
This is not our address.
Okay, can I see your liability insurance and the muzzle and the leash? Okay, can you get that?
You're embarrassing my parents, and I'm going to go ahead and... No, I'm going to go ahead and call an attorney. Just watch.
If you're not going to be cooperative and show me the keeping restrictions, then we will take possession of the dog. I'm not going to keep going around in circles with you, ma'am.
There's a number, policy number. You can go ahead and take down the policy number for the insurance.
No, you need to show me where it says that your liability is at least $100,000. I'm not going to call them. That's not my responsibility.
I can't do that. That's what I talked to them.
Okay, so then you're already in violation there, ma'am. All right, do you want to show me the leash and the muzzle and the kennel in the meantime? The dog is inside the house, right?
He's in the garage. The dog doesn't do anything. You want me to take him out and keep his bike again? He doesn't touch anything. Unless the guy probably hit him or something. No way can my dog hit him.
Can you show us where your kennel is?
What do you mean a kennel?
You have to have a ground-in kennel in your backyard.
No, have you said it on this?
There is specifications for a kennel that you have to have in the backyard.
I don't see that here.
It has to be ground-in.
What do you mean ground in? Like what?
Ground in means it's secured to the ground. At this point in time, we're going to have to take possession of the dog, and he's going to have to go to the shelter. From that point on, give you more time, but technically you are in violation of the keeping restrictions. We need you to go get the dog and load him onto the vehicle.
I did everything I could.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Get your swim cap.
Very long. You have broken skin?
Yeah.
All right, well, ma'am, he bit this officer.
Yeah.
Now.
Right here, ma'am.
Because I not told vicious? You guys, let me take him myself.
You did not
okay.
have control
no.
of the
I
dog.
Have control of the dog.
Let me take
all
him
right.
myself.
All right, you can call.
You guys didn't
get all your stuff,
me.
Okay?
My Zeus is like my child. He's like my son. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. He's an amazing, kind, compassionate, protective soul that doesn't deserve to die.
It all began back in May when owner Fariel Kabir came home with Zeus after spending time at a dog park. Kabir said when she opened her car door, Zeus lunged at a man who she claims was behind her SUV and bit him. She says the bite didn't puncture his skin and that it was a protective reaction.
Does she have any remorse for those who were bitten by Zeus?
I think that the punishment needs to fit the crime.
Attorney Christine Kelly says the bites were provoked in both instances.
When you go back and watch that video, can you say that your client had control of the dog?
I think that I can say Elk Grove Police and Elk Grove Animal Control never should have been.
All right, so, you know, that video, or even the audio as you're hearing it, I would imagine you have some questions. And so for me, what I really couldn't understand, and Bishop, maybe you, because you were reading a little more of it, maybe you had some insight. There was an incident that happened at a dog park where the dog bit somebody allegedly unprovoked. And I could see the dog having some of that behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then they were going to classify that dog as dangerous.
They already did declare him dangerous.
Okay, and then they did not comply with the dangerous dog declaration, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Which, I mean, she couldn't provide proof of a lot of it.
Right.
So, and then when the dog bit the ACO, like, she had absolutely no control out of this dog, and I can absolutely understand why they declared the dog dangerous.
Yeah, and so what I can't find and what I'm looking for, and this, there's a lot of information on it, is how bad the bite was initially.
To the victim?
Yeah, to clarify or classify it as dangerous.
So when the victim tried to move away, the dog bit the victim again on the other leg, because it started out with biting him on the back of his right leg.
Okay. Okay.
Then bit him on the other leg. Victim was.
Oh, I see it now, actually. There. So if you go to dailymail.uk, or I should just put the link in the show notes because there's no way you're going to write all this down. But the dailymail.com actually has it. And the title is California Woman is Placed on Suicide Watch for Threatening to Kill Herself if Her German Shepherd Puppy, well, he's not really a puppy, is euthanized after biting a stranger after the dog was seized. But they actually have good photos, and maybe I'll add this to the YouTube video as well. It's a level three. It's a level three. Like, it's not a four. It's an abrasion. It's a good.
Guy was walking away.
Yeah, like, it's a good size bite, but it's not, I wouldn't call it a four. And for those of you asking levels, check out our episode with Dr. Ian Dunbar, where we break down all the levels of dog bites, one through six, one being really just behavioral stuff, and then six being fatal. This is right there in the middle. It's a three. I can't even call it a four. It's more of just teeth abrasions. Do you see the bite?
No, not in the article you originally sent me.
I'll put this in the show notes and then scroll down. But so Okay, regardless, the dog was called a dangerous dog, which I understand from the aspects of their department and policies. I'm not questioning that. I, as I review it, and as I really want to be mindful of the animal control officer, because I know just how difficult this job is. You know, I've done it for a long time, and I don't want to bash the officer in this scenario. What my concern or what my feedback is, now, we already know from the title of this article that I'm talking about, California woman is placed on suicide watch, right? Like we kind of know where her perception of reality and mental state is, right? So dealing with somebody in that aspect can be challenging challenging in itself, right? Like knowing that person is going to be difficult. Where I felt this case was handled poorly, just from my perspective, is the tone of the officer the entire time is not how I would ever talk to anybody in the field, ever. As frustrated as I'm going to get at times, I'm not going to talk to you that way. And I think that dictates a lot of how cases and outcomes are had based on how we handle and what our tone is in these scenarios. I'd like your take on that, Bishop.
Sure. I mean, I think that's absolutely reasonable, but I also know that I'll put it out there. I think I've had days where I've been like that. I've dealt with stupid shit all day long, and now I've got this person who just is not coming into compliance, completely arguing with me, telling me, oh no, I've got everything, and no, you have nothing. When it's been made very clear as to what needs to be gotten. So I can also understand, although maybe not the appropriate way, I can also understand how there's the potential that the officer was talking like that.
Well, and I've talked like that before too. I'm not by no means. I think for me, the reality is I don't want to talk like that anymore. And I don't want our profession to be perceived like that anymore, because the headlines are going to roll with the
right
with that. And that's something that a prosecutor told me a few years ago, was like, just know that like that attitude and that tone is going to be seen and heard by the jury. Right. Sure. And so now it looks like you have a personal vendetta, or you are not coming at it unbiased. And it felt like she was biased. Granted, the dog owner sucked. Like I'm happy to say that.
Yeah.
The dog owner 1000% sucked at what she was doing, right? But what you can't do is get to that level, right? And you know, I teach verbal de-escalation. That's kind of my go-to. I really value that aspect of our profession, is being able to communicate with people. And so I think that aspect, I don't want to say that officer lost control of the situation, but I kind of think they did, in the aspect of the lady just never felt like she was heard. That's what I was seeing. Like, because of that tone and the way the officer continued to not berate, but continue to just like force her point onto her, made it for a situation that woman was never going to hear. And then now we got to get into the aspects of what happens when she brings the dog out. So I'd like you to replay that.
That was, you know, reading the ordinance that they have, the dog is supposed to be on a 3-foot leash. Well, that sure as hell was not a 3-foot leash. That was easily a 6-foot or more.
Yeah.
She had no control over that dog whatsoever. Even if all she had available was a 6-foot leash, she gave the dog the full extent of that leash. Never giving any commands to the dog or anything. The dog was just absolutely not under control. And that's the number of times that I've declared animals dangerous, not because I necessarily believe that the animal is specifically a danger, but because I know that the animal has tendencies and the owner is unable to control or do anything about those tendencies. They're trainable, but the owner is incapable.
Agreed.
And that's exactly what this was.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more there. And so, again, it's not bashing the officer. The reality is this whole situation was fucked, in my opinion.
But at the same time, all of the officers, from what I could see in the video, now, tensions were high, owner's emotions were high, which is going to put the dog on edge. But those officers, although having their tasers out for their own protection, I can see why.
Sure.
They were standing there calmly. They weren't shouting at her. They were standing there calmly. They had their hands visible. And the dog lunged for no reason.
Well, but here's my other problem with that is, as an ACO, this is our scene, right? It is. Like, PD's there for whatever reason, whether the person's a threat physically or maybe there's a mental health issue going on. I don't think I would have had, I'm not even going to go there. I think what happened, in my opinion, is that ACO, because she was so invested, I can't say that because I don't know if you were so invested if you're listening. I don't want to bash you. What I want to say is it felt like you lost sight of your role because you didn't prepare the police officers who don't deal with dangerous dogs accordingly. There was no reactionary gap. They're too close to that dog. If you know the dog is coming out, we'll go back to the video that everybody has seen in this profession with Florence Crowell from LA when she is standing there with the catch pole. And you know what I'm talking about when the lady is like, Benjamin's coming out. If you don't want to get bit, you better leave. Yeah. And then he comes out and straight attacks her. Like, the reactionary gap aspect or being ready. They weren't ready, right? So they put themselves in harm's way. That's what frustrates me, is like, hey, take control of the situation. Hey, we need y'all to move back over here. Like, she's coming out with the dog. We know she is not stable. We already, we can already confirm that. And then we have a dog that's unpredictable. So it leads us into this question. Where do you sit on euthanasia?
I'd struggle on this one because the reality is this dog, the bite to the officer, from what I could see, I couldn't get a good image of it. He got tagged. Yeah. His pants got ripped. It broke skin. Couldn't have been more than a 3.
Could not have been.
But, you know, that's what? Two? Well, actually 3, because that was 2 bites on the first one. So 3 bites.
2 bites. You can't count that first one as 2 bites. It's a bite.
Well,
1 bite incident.
1 bite incident. But, I mean, in how many days? Probably 1 or 2.
Okay.
That dog is escalated. And my concern would be the owner. So
we speak all the time about euthanizing on the show and how we don't appreciate the certain language that's out there and how we focus on public safety. So my question to you is this, would you, if they called you in based on your experience and training, would you recommend this dog for euthanasia?
If it's if it would be staying with her, yes. If its only option would be to stay with her, yes.
So I think I echo that sentiment. What I was going to say is I would not order that dog for euthanasia based on what I saw, period. Unless the only option was for her to keep it. So what I would do is I would say, here is the option of this dog could be rehomed to a training facility, wherever it may go, somebody that can, because there are people that can handle that German Shepherd dog. No question. That German Shepherd dog is no different than most German Shepherd dogs.
Right.
The reality is she should own a Bichon Frise or a Bichon or a West Highland White Terrier or a little
Pomeranians.
Thank you. One of those. Like, that's her dog. German Shepherd is not for you, honey. Like, let's keep it moving. Give those to the professionals.
She could. If she wants a big dog, get a Great Dane.
Yeah. get a poodle lab mix. So that's my issue is, yes, she is unfit to be that dog's owner, period. And I would, based on my training experience, etc., that would be my recommendation too, is this lady owner is unfit to be the dog owner, as we see in not just the video, but then in her, you know, I'm going to kill myself threats, etc.
Right.
So yeah, if I was the judge, I would award it to, if there was a rescue that wanted to step up, and this is where I'll support it. And you might be surprised hearing me say that. This is where I would support a dog that has had previous bite history getting a second chance, because I think that dog is just in the wrong hands, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So check that out, our YouTube channel, if you want to see this on YouTube. It's funny, youtube.com and then @ Keep It Humane. So it's youtube.com.
And then just put it in the search bar.
Or you could just put it in the search bar. Or you could put in the Animal Control Report podcast in the search bar. That's probably the easiest, right?
Yeah.
I'm new to this game. I don't know. Well, thanks again for taking your time out. We'd like to remember you to go and check out our website, keepithumane.com, part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. Also, please nominate an ACO, an agency of the year. I do not want November 1st to come around and I'm like, really? Like, we got zero. And we know you're listening. Like, statistics don't lie. I can wave to you. Like, I know you're out there because the data says you're out there. Most of you are in the United States, but we got a couple out of the country. So we know you're there. You can nominate anybody, anywhere, anytime between now and November 1st. So just support your peeps. We need more support in this profession, mm-hmm. and it starts with us. So as I condescendingly say that after digging on an officer's tone, but the reality is that needs to be addressed, because if tone is not addressed constructively, that officer can't get better. And that's all my only goal is to try to help in that aspect.
Well, and even looking at that, like I said, I threw myself under the bus. I know I've had that tone, and I will, after seeing it on a video that is, you know, out there for everybody to see, because I could hear myself in that, I'm going to work on it.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm not, if that was me, I wouldn't be taking it as a dig. I would, you know, be like, oh man.
Do you know who worked for that agency, by the way?
Who?
It's a little fun fact, a little tidbit.
Who is it?
Officer Hildy. That was his agency. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, we should get him on to talk about it. Because that's that, you know, when he was in our profession, and he's no longer that. But he might know these players. And so it's just funny how, you know, we're bringing that up.
That's funny.
So anyway, well, again, thanks again for listening. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those places. I did it. Holler at your boy. Again, Facebook, Instagram, we're Animal Control Report, and then TikTok, it's Keep It Humane. There's so much social media. If you want to help manage those social media things, hit me up. That's a lot. Anyway, thanks for listening, and keep it
humane.
Humane.